Time's now 3:31. Andrew here with you on News on the Hill. It is time for a check of the weather forecast, and it's a tricky one right now. We're basically balancing the approach of some rain and some really cold weather. It looks like the rain is coming first, so we'll be very wet starting tonight around 9 o'clock. By the time it's all said and done tomorrow afternoon, we'll have close to an inch of rain on the ground. And then on Friday, the temperature is going to get super cold. We'll be up to 44 at one point on Friday, but our overnight low is going to be 10 degrees on Friday. And then we're in for a very cold Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with lows of 15 both of those days. High of 30 on Saturday, up to 35 on Sunday. So if we end up with a bunch of ice, that might be our melting day there on Christmas Day on Sunday. This check of the weather brought to you by School of Rock Chapel Hill. Give the gift of music during this season of giving. School of Rock Chapel Hill offers individual instruction and group programs for musicians ages 6 to 96. They're enrolling new students now at chapelhill.schoolofrock.com. Spots are limited, so sign up today. You're listening to News on the Hill brought to you by Emerge Pediatric Therapy. And now it's time for the Chatham County Roundup. That means it's time to welcome in a member of the staff of the Chatham News and Record, our partners down in Chatham County. And this will be a bittersweet Chatham County Roundup because we are welcoming Maida Devarajan to the program for what is going to be the final time as a member of the Chatham News and Record. Maida, is that correct?
Yeah, it's definitely really bittersweet. I started at this job in July. It's been the best job I could have ever asked for out of college. And I'm going to be starting a new fellowship at Facing South, which is an online magazine at the Institute for Southern Studies in January. So we'll definitely be sad to leave Chatham County, but we'll be cheering the News and Record along all the way. So,
well, I appreciate you making time to come on to News on the Hill one more time as we are coming to the conclusion of 2022. I know there's been a lot of stuff that you've covered over the past several months in Chatham County, but the thing that's kind of at the top of the list right now is Pittsboro needs a town manager, and they did a big search for a town manager and then came to the conclusion that they didn't find who they wanted. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's definitely something that so the former town manager, Chris Kennedy, retired pretty shortly after, or sorry, he left pretty shortly after I started this summer. And so they kind of, the search for a permanent town manager began after that. Hazen Blodgett is currently serving as the interim town manager. He used to be a manager in a couple other municipalities for many, many years in Matthews, where, you know, he worked for 20 years and retired. And so, you know, I spoke with him and he said, despite the fact that Pittsburgh is kind of moving the goalposts, they had hoped to find a permanent town manager by January. And so despite that, he won't be extending his time with the town. So he's still going to be leaving January 31st. And so actually what's happening now, I spoke with the mayor, Cindy Perry, and so they're going to be having kind of two searches running concurrently for an interim manager to fill the time between Hazen's leaving and the new permanent manager, and then also looking for a permanent manager, of course. And so, you know, it's been a month-long process, including many closed sessions and interviews with candidates. And they'd actually offered the position to two candidates in the last couple of weeks, but the first had to decline because they wanted to keep working in their current jurisdiction, which is a requirement to be in the job. And the other declined because of family considerations. And so they're still looking for one. And Cindy Perry told me that the town probably won't have a suitable candidate until maybe about February, March of next year. And that incoming manager is going to have to tackle several key issues, you know, from a planned merger of water and wastewater systems with the city of Sanford that hope to get into later to, you know, explosive growth and development demands kind of in the town and in the county in general. So that's definitely something to keep an eye out for in the new year.
Yeah, we were talking in the newsroom. I was going to ask this follow-up, but you sort of answered it already. We were kind of debating when we read that press release. Was this a... there wasn't anybody we liked, or was this a, we found some people we liked, but they ended up not being able to take the job? And it sounds like they did find a couple of candidates that they thought were good for the job and just couldn't quite land them.
Yeah, for sure.
Then, as you mentioned, one of the things that this new town manager also just wanted to comment on how complicated this situation has suddenly become. While they're looking for an interim town manager and a long-term town manager simultaneously,
right.
that can't be an ideal scenario by any stretch of the imagination. You mentioned some of the things that are going to be on the town manager's docket when they do get hired, and one of them is the Pittsboro-Sanford utility merger. What is the latest on that?
Yeah, so, you know, when I started this job 6 months ago, I don't think I ever expected to write as much about sewer and water issues as I have. You know, it's kind of like every meeting I went to for the Pittsboro Board of Commissioners, which is the area that I was covering, you know, it's kind of like we're learning, you know, we're inching along this process. That's something that's been, you know, for years, sort of contamination of the town's water supply and kind of these sort of dueling demands of aggressive development and constrained water and sewer capacities. That's something that's been followed for years and been discussed for years. And so, you know, it's kind of like I got a crash course in a sense. And so that kind of, you know, going to meetings and kind of hearing all these numbers and timelines kind of made me confused at times. And so I really wanted to try to sort that all out. So, you know, the story that I wrote kind of goes into further detail that came out in the paper this week. But, you know, a couple of things to look for is this potential merger of utility systems with the city of Sanford. It's something that's been discussed, I believe, since 2016. We're really starting to get movement on that now. And in the new year, we'll, you know, on December 13th, both Pittsboro's Board of Commissioners and the Sanford City Council had meetings individually with Fries and Nichols, which is an engineering firm that's been kind of doing a financial impact evaluation of what a merger might look like. And so it's kind of a complicated process, and it's still a proposed merger. And there will be, I'm expecting, you know, action to be taken in the coming year, where sort of the next steps would be an interlocal agreement between Sanford, Pittsboro, and Chatham Park on what this merger will look like. Sanford's current utility systems are very strong, and that's something that I learned a lot about, sort of where that strength of infrastructure came from. And so, you know, they already kind of sell capacity to neighboring municipalities, so this isn't, you know, something that's necessarily new, but Pittsboro definitely desperately needs more capacity, especially as we know that development is coming to the town, whether, you know, that's not something that can be stopped by any means. So that's one, definitely something to keep an eye out for, is this merger and what's going to happen.
We're speaking with Maida Devarajan from the Chatham News and Record, and this is the Chatham County Roundup. We were just talking about the proposed wastewater capacity merger between Sanford and Pittsboro, and it's just one of several stories dominating Chatham County this year. And one of the other ones is, of course, the VinFast facility in Moncure, and we're starting to see a lot of movement on that as well. And I wonder if you could give us an update on what the Department of Transportation's plans are for that area.
Yeah, so my coworker Ben Rafapour wrote a really great story last week in our paper about the Mary Oaks Baptist Church in Moncure, which, you know, so original plans from the North Carolina Department of Transportation for the VinFast facility in Moncure showed that the roads kind of around the new electric vehicle plant would utilize eminent domain to take, about 27 homes, 5 businesses, and this Mary Oaks Baptist Church. And so there's been several, public comment hearings since, through August, and the Department of Transportation has made some adjustments to those plans in the wake of comments. So as we know, VinFast is going to be investing $4 billion and bringing, over 7,000 jobs to Chatham in the next 10 years. And so many people have voiced concerns about the way that the roadway plans would disrupt their personal property. And so I really recommend reading Ben's story on Mary Oaks. It really is a wonderful dive into this community in Moncure. But, you know, I know that he got a chance to speak to somebody at the Department of Transportation who talked about how the closure of US 1 interchange with old US 1 at exit 84, which is a proposed, is no longer going to be happening, and there's some modifications to that area, but unfortunately none of the design concepts are able to avoid the relocation of Mary Oaks Baptist Church. And so, you know, I really recommend reading Ben's story, because it is really so great. And the Department of Transportation is going to continue to address and update these designs before finalizing them in January. That's when construction of the first roadway is planned for, around spring of 2023. And the plant is sort of set to roll out these electric vehicles in the summer of 2024. So, you know, it's kind of like a timeline that is kind of rapidly approaching. Things are getting underway. And the right-of-way acquisition for that church that we talked about is going to begin in January as well. So something to keep an eye out for.
definitely a story to keep following. That timeline seems ambitious, but we will keep an eye on it and see how it develops as the new year approaches. We are visiting with Maida Devarajan from the Chatham News and Record, and we've got a little bit of time left, and I wanted to talk about, we were emailing before we were on the air, and you mentioned the Christmas lighthouse in Siler City in the email, and I definitely want to talk about this.
So this is a house that for a couple has been running for a couple, for several years. They've been doing this where they put out lights throughout their property, and to the point it's so just like it draws people in that there I think have been accidents because it's just so wonderful and merry to see that people want to stop, which is a concern. And so Michelle and Scott Mace is the couple who've been doing this. It's a house on US 64, about halfway between Pittsburgh and Siler City, more than 50,000 lights. And they do it just, you know, they've been doing it to keep the holidays bright in every sense of the word. And so it's a really wonderful spot if you get the chance to drive through. Like I mentioned, there is no parking, so it's something to be aware of, but it is a really wonderful site. Something else that I just wanted to mention as well, kind of unrelated, but just our offices are closed on Friday and Monday for the Christmas holiday. You just mentioned, you know, Christmas lights, so I thought about that. I just wanted to mention that.
I wanted to make sure we got that in too, so thanks for getting that in. And likewise, I'm not on the air for Friday or Monday, so we'll be running all holiday music on Friday and all music on Monday here on 97.9 The Hill. I did drive by that house on US 64 between Siler City and Pittsburgh, and it is spectacular. If you go by it when it's lit up, it is absolutely spectacular. And then on the way back to Pittsburgh, I was amused because the Chatham County Sheriff's Office has one of those electronic signs out on 64 that's like, don't slow down or stop on the highway. It's basically like, look, we know these lights that you're coming up on are going to be awesome,
right,
but you cannot stop here. This is a U.S. highway. So we are just about out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, as the year wraps up, I think that's something that I've really gotten the chance to see up close and personal. It's been driven into my head time and time again as a journalism student at UNC, but local news is so important and so valuable and needed to maintain our democracy, to know your fellow neighbors, to know what's going on in your community. So really grateful for the support of the Chatham News and Record and, you know, the radio station as well. And just wanted to say that in the new year, you know, if you want to keep getting access to wonderful, important local news, to keep supporting your local, you know, newspapers and news businesses in the area.
That's the voice of Maida Devarajan. She is finishing up her run at the Chatham News and Record. She says local news is important, as we definitely feel it is here at chapelboro.com. And it doesn't get much better than the local coverage you get in the Chatham News and Record. And Maida's been a big part of that for the second half of this year. So thank you so much for your time and best of luck going forward, Maida.
Thank you. I appreciate it.